May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 180. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. That alone be all our glory, all things else are dung and dross. Thee we own a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Hymn 180.
Thank you. holy word of God, let us read in the book of the prophet Isaiah. We'll read chapters 53 and 54 in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapters 53 and 54. In chapter 53 we have a prophecy of the offering of God's own Lamb, Jesus Christ. Who hath believed our report, or as Margin says, doctrine? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. But he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, margin tormented, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In chapter 54 we have the promises to the troubled church, experimentally applied to her. May we know it ourselves, and that these promises spring forth from the sacrifice and offering of the Lord Jesus. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy glory, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Nar unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great it shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, that saith thee, Lord. Let us pray. O thou blessed God, who art in the heavens and inhabits eternity, we bow before thee now and seek unto thee for the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit of truth may be with us here as we meet around thy word. Has promised to be where even two or three meet together. There am I, in the midst thou hast promised. And so we plead that, as we come now once again on this earthly Lord's Day. Indeed our lives are through various scenes are drawn and vexed with trifling cares, Lord. They're not trifling to us sometimes. But as we may measure present things with things to come, then, Lord, indeed, we begin to perceive not only the shortness of time, but the glories that are before those who fear thee and tremble at thy word. And therefore sanctify our trials, though, indeed, compared with those endless ages, they are but a pinprick and are trifling, yet so often they are heavy with us, like the apostle's thorn in his flesh, something that aggravated, something that seemed to hinder. And we often say in our heart, if I was without this, I could serve the Lord better, but we live to prove that when without these corrections and chastenings and trying scenes, we soon relax and become carnal. Ah, what poor foolish worms we are, Lord. Yet may we look to thee now, in all our vast need, and as the needs of each who have gathered, the need of the minister, and of the deacons and the church members, and the secret disciples, and Lord, and as the solemn state and case of those who are careless, who know thee not, who see no beauty in thee, or no glory, that they should desire thee and the knowledge of thee. Oh, bring them into concern. But Lord, we ask now that thou feed us. May there be that bread from heaven. Want the truth, Lord, as it is in Jesus. We fail, we confess our sins as we come into the house of God. Oh, we have to confess them daily and hourly, again and again. Oh, we're confessing the same sins we had to confess last year. Oh, Lord, in our flesh there dwells no good thing. Oh, what worthless worms we are. Our follies, our ignorance, our unbelief, our carnality, our rebellions. Oh, our suspicious minds, suspicious of God sometimes, and oh, how foolish we are. Oh, our vain, vile, wretched natures, Lord. Oh, we do confess before thee. Our need is so great. But oh, may we be helped this day in some little sacred measure to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, we do stand in awe of the glories and wonders of Emmanuel. Oh, thou who art love, a most merciful, a most gracious Father, who is love, what thou hast fulfilled in the giving of thy dear Son and swearing those tremendous promises. Oh, we plead them before thee and approach unto thy dear Son. And we would look to thee expressly, Emmanuel, our heavenly friend, who intercedes before God for such vile, wretched worms. Oh, look upon us as thou didst look upon Peter, Oh, remember us, Lord, and come where we are, and grant that healing touch. May we each be helped and encouraged to press through the crowd. There are many crowds, especially our sinnership, entanglements, snares on every side, unbelieving fear so much, Lord, the world and so much trouble in this world. Oh, but may we press on, press toward that mark. Oh, to touch thee. Help us say in our heart like that woman did, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So remember us now. May there be some suitable word in season. May there be, Lord, that living water, some virtue, felt and tasted in the soul, that flows from beneath the throne that we read of in heaven. Oh, that throne of grace. Oh, bless us then. Remember each friend, those among us in sickness and those in weariness and age and weakness, the widows, the distressed, any widowers among us, Lord, and those who walk through most difficult scenes, and everything seems so delicate, one full step, oh, they will be gone, it appears to them. May there be something, some word of grace, some sacred promise. We need thee. Wash us, cleanse us, prepare us for thy will, prepare us each for our end. It's amazing, Lord, how careless we can become about our end. Oh, that we were ever wise to lay up many prayers day by day against it. That tremendous day, Lord, which will be to us now the most important day of our life, when we shall appear before thy judgment seat. Make us wise then, while it is called today, to call upon thee while we live. Help in the earthly scene of our providence, things of business affairs and home affairs and family affairs, the afflictions that abound, the sorrows that we know. Oh, sanctify these things and hear our cries to go before us in all these deep and weighty matters. And may we see and know thy delivering hand. Command deliverances for Jacob. Raise us each up from the dust and the horrible pits that we may be experiencing at the present time. So remember us now and do us each good. Oh, remember the young friends, the youth and the children, the little ones in arms. We pray for each. Where there are serious afflictions among us, grant strengthening, sparing, healing mercies, could it please thee. Oh, we need in every part of our lives, but help us to trust, help us to believe, help us to come, help us to wait upon thee. We have to pray for help. Without thee we can do nothing. We've lived to prove that. Yes, both to the favour and blessing of our soul, and also to much wounding and grieving when we've gone in our own strength in matters, Lord. Oh, may there ever be a prayer with us. All the changing scenes of life, while we have an abounding sinnership, Lord, help me. We need thy help, but we would plead that blessed truth in the psalm by prophecy. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. Oh, thou blessed God. Oh, we look to that man at thy right hand, as the psalmist again says. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the son of man whom thou makest strong for thyself. Oh, may we know thy strength, Lord Jesus, in all our weakness and need and ruin. Oh, to know thy everlasting strength as we journey on. So bless us each. Give us broken, Humble, contrite, soft and tender hearts, we pray these things, Lord, because they're not natural. No, we've got awful hearts. Oh, we've got dreadful hearts. We soon rage and rave when things go wrong, when our pride is wounded, Lord. Oh, and how we are so ready to sink in unbelief. But grant us, Lord, that tender, contrite spirit that truly trusts and waits upon Thee, yet mourns over all our sins and unprofitableness. Oh, we do pray that there may be that repentance unto life with us. We'll be softened in believing the report, humbling ourselves at Thy mighty hand, Lord, before Thee, the living God, falling down before the Lamb as we have sung our opening hymn. Oh, that we might know much of it in our lives, Lord. Oh, do pardon our sins now. Bless this people. Grant them Thy Spirit dwell among them. Crown Thy gospel with success. Send Thine Holy Ghost anointed servants to them with us, thus saith the Lord. May there yet be that building up in truth and righteousness and godly fear. Oh, may there be an ingathering of precious souls. May many be blessed here, established in the covenant, fed and watered, made fruitful in the earth. And ah, that many might be prepared to depart this lower scene and to enter into their rest, so vital, Lord. So hear prayer to bless the brethren here, have our friends in office, give them much wisdom, grace, godly fear. Oh, may they be helped to cast their cares upon Thee. For Lord, in these modern times there's much burden to be born with all this modern age and the great falling away. Make them faithful, Lord, and help them to wait upon Thee continually. May there be much prayer for them and much prayer for each other. Unite the church around Thy precious word, that they may have one mind in the Lord. As the apostle besought Euodias and Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. And may there be that unity in what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Bless visiting friends from the north. Be grace to them and bless them. Bless the brethren there and be with them there this day. And maintain them, Lord, in that vast city. Remember the dear brethren at home. Oh, grant us Thy Spirit there. Bless each precious soul, young and old, and out Thy dear servant, Lord, preaching there today. And a dear friend known to us for many years and now preaching for the first time. Lord, bless him. May he find a springing well. May be helped to set forth something of those unsearchable riches of Thyself, Lord. And do help a poor man here today. Ah, and all Thy servants, help us each, Lord, to set forth something of Thy unsearchable riches. We need Thee formed in our heart. We need Thee in our lives. We shall need Thee at a dying day. Oh, that we might be with Thee at last. It will be a miracle and a wonder to us. Indeed it will. Yet we must possess that land. We daren't turn back. Can only wait upon Thee. So do us good now. And help us. And make one in our midst. And break the bread of life. And pardon our mighty sins. We plead with thankfulness for all Thy mercies. Our cup runs over. We thank Thee for that everlasting covenant we've read of. And Lord, at a sweet truth, as Thou hast sworn the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. Oh, so Thou hast sworn there'll not be wrath with us nor rebuke us. Blessed God, what can we say to these things? May we truly reverence Thee and delight in Thee. And may we help to live upon the fullness of Thee promise. If God be for us, who can be against us? Bless us now then. So we thank Thee for the seasons, bearing in mind the Noahic covenant, Lord. We believe that the seasons will continue to the end of time. But help us to believe, that Thy precious blood cleanses from all sin. And so we ask for help. And pray also for our land and nation. Be gracious to us in mercy. We live in such a dreadful age, oh, this modern global age. Antichrist reigns, Lord, and fast spreading his dreadful tentacles into every walk of life. Oh, to push out Christ and stamp out thy glorious name. But we know he's a defeated foe. Therefore, may we wait patiently for the Lord and ask thou spare our liberty to worship and our liberty to read the Bible, and spare, Lord, the evil designs from Satan to eventually abolish the incorruptible word of God. Oh, that his determination to bring in corrupt versions. May we be favoured still to have the pure word. But now we look to thee, for we need feeding, need help. Pardon us and help us, we plead. Thy all-prevailing name, we plead for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 151. What slavish fears molest my mind and vex my sickly soul? How is it, Lord, that thou art kind and yet I am not whole? Hymn 151.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayer for attention to two different portions in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Firstly, in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Also on my mind is in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and the first verse, John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I particularly would desire to bring in the word in John as we, if we're helped indeed, to proceed into these two verses in Mark. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord will never be without his servants in the earth, those who fear him. And those who, even unto perilous and troublous times, he anoints to set forth something of the glories of Emmanuel that they have personally tasted and handled and felt, like Joseph Hart in that beautiful hymn we sang just now. He knew a living stream, but he knew much conflict and soul trouble. And he needed Christ. And there ever will be, to the end of time, a people that need Christ. All sorts of religions, all sorts of ideas, all certain doctrinal positions, and all manners of opinions. And yet, my friends, the church will be sanctified and separated and richly blessed, and taken safely home to glory. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians 2, yet speaking very solemnly of the latter days, yet he says to the Thessalonians themselves, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Oh, my dear friends, the work of the Spirit is very plain and very clear. Although there may be much conflict and confusion in the mind of a poor pilgrim when he's assaulted and assailed, when he trembles and is distressed on account of his own sins, his own evil ways, and when he perceives his weakness in the flesh, often afraid to die, yet you see, he has a certain clarity. He wants Christ, he must win Christ, and he knows in whom he does believe, and he was pressed toward him. Yea, he dare not give ground any quarter to the enemy. So there will be a church till the end of time, right up to the end of time. I may have said this here before, pardon me. But it just brings to mind something my paternal grandmother said to me when I was a little boy. I asked her when the end of the world was coming. A childlike question, of course, and she paused for a moment, and then she said very solemnly, "Timothy, the end of the world will not come until the last vessel of mercy has been called." Now, that wasn't the answer I was looking for, but what an answer. My friends, not a hoof of the church will be left behind. Now, how solemn is that thought? How blessed is that thought? Will we be left behind? My friends, what if our name should be left out when he calls his people away from earth? You see, as many as whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life were cast into the lake which burneth with fire. This is an awful truth, but it's truth. You see, my friends, we are rebels base and rebels vile. In days of great weakness, there's much compromise in the ministry, and there is also a setting forth of smooth things, easier things. But you know, in Jeremiah, the Lord solemnly warns those prophets that prophesied smooth things, that sewed all pillows to all harm holes, made everything fit just right to suit the taste of fallen humanity. But dear friends, and I do pray, especially the flock at home and you friends here and where I have to go to preach, that many might be called. We read a very solemn doctrine, you know. The election hath obtained it, the rest are blinded. I've been told many times, election is true, but you shouldn't preach it because it discourages people. Well, my friends, if your soul is rightly exercised to win Christ, you won't quibble over that blessed doctrine. You'll want to know you're in him, to be found in him. That was the exercise of the apostle, that I may win Christ. Didn't say I'm a good Christian. Didn't show all his activity in the outward works of charity, which is man's duty. No, he'd have nothing of it. He had one thing. He pressed forward to the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that he might win him and be found in him. We read elsewhere in his epistle to Timothy, he laid up many prayers against that day. Well, therefore, God, to the end of time, will commission men to preach the gospel. He chooses who he will. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Man looks on the outward part for a qualification and a suitability and ability. God prepares the heart. And he sends fools and chiefs of sinners and ignorant fishermen and unlikely people to go forth and preach something of the unsearched riches of Christ. Oh, he brings them into the fire. He humbles them before him. He brings them to know their utter ruin, desperate condition, and yet he leads them freely, graciously, sovereignly, to fountains of living water, washes away all their sins. Oh, you see, a Holy Ghost anointed minister must have indeed some real anointing from God. Holy Ghost anointing. There may be a divine authority, and he must taste, and he must handle those things that he preaches. You know that his sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. He will have known something of that, removing of that iniquity from his own land in one day by that great sacrifice for sin. Yet he will ever be a poor man, struggling along. So you see, the Lord will not be short of his people. There's not There's not a vacant seat in heaven, you know. The mansions that he's preparing now will one day be completely full. The whole city will be jointly compact together. Oh, my friends, the whole church is complete in the sight of God, and she's justified. She's beautiful. I know. Some of you are poor sinners, you're ugly. Absolutely ugly. You may come here sometimes with filling your desperately wicked hearts, and to confess your heart wanderings, or entanglements, whether it's a mother in the home or one out at work, or an older person, or your heart wanderings, your sins, your ugliness. And yet you say, ah, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, he that really looks to Christ, presses to Christ, makes honest, sincere and true confessions to Christ, is justified as he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. See, there's a saving faith. Oh, there's a belief of the truth by the Holy Ghost. There's a believing to the saving of the soul. All Christians of all shades and opinions, even Jehovah's Witnesses say they believe in Christ, they deny his divinity. But they come under some nominal name of, oh, pretending to be Christians. No, but my friends, but let's be clear concerning us, Geestric Baptists, which we believe we cling to the truth. And we believe the Lord has worked evidently among us many years, and we hope he still will. But it's, my dear friends, to merely rest in general Christianity or our denominational position or in the fact that we live uprightly and that we feel we're poor men and we hope it'll be well at last. How solemn. Oh, my dear friends, may we press toward him. May we be found in him. May there be that exercise with us each. So you see, those who are sent forth, they will be faithful. They will set forth something of the glories of Emmanuel. Now, you see, they're under a commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the sense here? What did Emmanuel mean? By my opening and by my shutting, by my divine leading, by my anointing, so take up your cross willingly, with a ready mind, not for filthy lucre, and sow that blessed seed at every opportunity that God does give you. All the world. You know, my friends, we know not the number of the elect. We lose sight, do we not, so easily, that blessed multitude is from every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. And are we among them is the great matter, isn't it? So, you see, he sent the apostles forth, and from that day, this gospel has been preached in all nations. Yes, he said it must be and will be, and it has been and it still is, beginning at Jerusalem. I do like that particularly beginning at Jerusalem, for a number of reasons. One is, this is the place where he'll come, the second time. He ascended from the Mount of Olives, so he'll descend in that part. I won't say he'll actually stand on the Mount of Olives, we don't know the solemn detail, that's hidden from us, but it will come and gather the nations, you see. But Jerusalem, where he died for the ungodly. Yes, and Jerusalem, where the sons of men have really committed the greatest wickedness they could commit. They crucified the eternal Son of God as he appeared in our age without sin in that place. And they cast him out of the city. Oh, he was led out of the city. An absolute felon and crook. And one only worthy of death. and they led him out of the city. Oh, yet God, oh, the gospel. Oh, my friends, how the apostle charged those Jerusalem inhabitants with his death, and they were cut to the heart. And yet, how the apostle pointed out to them the way, and those who had so crucified Christ, so many of them, and if they hadn't done any particular physical part in this yet, their heart was toward it. And yet so many, 3,000 souls were wrought upon that very day. It wasn't the might of the apostle, Peter or John or the others. It was the might of Almighty God making the ministry a living ministry, finding out the elect among those Jews, and some of them such wicked Jews too. You see, the Lord Jesus teaches in John chapter 3, marvel not that I said unto you, must be born again. Can you trace out a new birth in your religion? I know you'll be very tried. We sang of that beautiful hymn just now. Oh, the enemy will pursue about that matter. But can you trace it out? Or do you know what it is, again and again and again and again, to abhor yourself? Godly Job abhorred himself. He's one who years before knew his Redeemer lived. He still knew his Redeemer lived. But in some sacred measure, he had seen by faith the atonement, received it. He knew that he was eternally safe. He didn't sit pretty. And the Lord saw to it that he didn't sit pretty either. For he allowed the enemy to molest him. And the enemy may be molesting some of you today. But what a mercy you can trace out something of the new birth. In this, you see, you abhor yourself and have to abhor yourself. And yet, you see, oh, such a beauty. Oh, such a glory. Such a fullness. Such virtue in him and his all-prevailing name, as a poor man, polluted and weak and helpless, and you have to pour out your heart. And oh, you know, a little rising of faith and says, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. Well, can you trace out, my friends, visits in your life? Sweet touches to your soul, realities. And do you know the plague of your heart in your wanderings? And you have to indeed confess and pour out your heart again and again. And the wonders of grace is, you see, as Gatsby says, not all the wanderings of a heart can make his love from her depart. We read, didn't we, in that chapter 54, you see. You know something of the wrath of God. You were born again of the Spirit. You know something of hidings of his face. You know something of his dreadful majesty, his intrinsic holiness. You know something of his chastenings. If he smiled in your soul, the hidings of his face. I know it's not popular, my friends, but you know it's true. If you are without chastening and cannot trace out in your soul's experience some solemn chastening of the mighty hand of God upon you, I don't say it, but the apostle does. You're a bastard and not a son. God is not your father in your religion. It's false. Oh, you have a false father, you say. The devil. Jesus did not mince his words. You see, that was born from above, my friends, was pure and holy. But he spoke to them, you see. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, you see. And your exercise and my exercise and yours and my religion are either of the flesh or of the Spirit. Jesus spoke to the very religious Jews, and they kept to the purity of the Mosaic laws as much as they possibly could. But he said to them, did he not? Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Yes, he spoke to them as their father, being the devil. See, if we are deceived, it's the God of this world that's blinded us. And therefore, the Lord's people find many searchings out, but what a clarity. They want Christ. They want Christ. Now, you who are born again with the Spirit know something of these things. Though I'm a poor man and have a strange way of preaching, yet I believe you'll find a holy agreement. Or that you might be found in him. So he says, doesn't he, the prophet, this of course is in the chapter 54, which sets forth the promises and how the Lord speaks comfort through the offering of his dear son. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee, in a little wrath. Little wrath is like a father chastening his family. Some have to have more chastisement than others, don't they? Others are more wayward than others, but I know this, you've been cross with all your children at times and had to reprove them and sometimes spank them. Or make them go without something as a punishment. People have different ways. But nevertheless, you see, it's a little wrath. Fathers don't hate their children, they love them. All they long to see is they might grow up as good citizens, and if they're God-fearing fathers, yea, they might fear the Lord. They might be saved. But it is the end of all chastenings and all hidings of his face, and it's a little wrath. So in your darkness and temptations, my friends, it's a little wrath. But you see, the smallness and the littleness, yes, how momentary it is compared with that that is to come. And your final victory. And you see your call to believe in him in all your afflictions, all your troubles, in all these corrections and chastenings. When you're under the chastening hand of God, who do you want? That proves it's a fatherly chastening. You want his mercy and forgiveness. Want to see, oh, something of your Redeemer's face. See, if these trials are doing your soul good, you want Christ under these things. A fresh sense, more another visit or access once more. Lord, to relieve your soul, pardon your sins, and deliver you and bring you safely out. Well, I'll just quote these verses and I must proceed. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou hast refused, saith thy God. There may be those who walked about here knowing in their heart that God has every right to refuse them salvation. They're so bad, so wretched, so undone. But you know he won't refuse those poor comers. I was thinking in the vestry, you know, as we hope, if the Lord will, to read Isaiah 55 this evening, and there may be a portion in Romans, the Lord helping. But you know, my friends, he'll never send any away that come to him. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. So you may indeed write much bitterness in your soul. And you will reverence the Son of God, only you don't deserve the least mercy. There's a solemn right and prerogative indeed to refuse our cries, but he's covenant not to do so, child of God, in confessing your sins and pleading his all-prevailing name. And this is where we need the Holy Spirit's work to enable us and help us to believe more and more, yea, in such a way to press toward that mark and through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. For us, small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. This is the verse I want to come to. Verse 9, for this is of the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn, that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. Now, believers know that in spite of what modern scientists say, the seasons will continue till the end of time. That is the plain truth from the scripture. And the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, because he promised the seasons would continue when he smelt Noah's sacrifice. So have I sworn to this church who fear me and seek my face and call upon my name, who our most holy heavenly Father draws to Christ. Dear friend, ask that question. Can you treasure just a little in your soul? Do you know what it is as a poor man to be drawn to Christ? You have rising desires for his blessing, longings in your soul. Yet, oh, a little heavenly light is given to your needy soul and you draw near in hope. Oh, you come like those poor people in the scriptures. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So have I sworn that I'll not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Oh, that poor people who we read of in Zephaniah, I will leave in the midst of thee, that's Jerusalem, an afflicted and a poor people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. He's sworn to that people that trust in his name. He'll never be wroth with them nor rebuke them. But they will know the experience of the following verse 10, you see. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Some changes, solemn changes. We don't think of mountains and hills being removed, do we? Friends from Manchester see the Pennines each day, providing the clear atmosphere is there. They're there. We expect them to be there to the end of time, don't we? But what a poor man in his life here. All the change, the mountains, the godly men that have passed away, the stability in the nation. Oh, our health and strength passing away. Changes in business, changes in the church of God. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Oh, it's a changing world, a restless world. And we're dying away from it. Those things in childhood and youth seem so permanent to us, we see now, are all shaking. But he makes a covenant promise. Here, yes, but the covenant. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Child of God, changes, solemn trials, afflictions, many troubles in your life, outwardly, inwardly, providential and soul, in family, in business, in the church of God, especially your grief over your sinnership. Yet he's sworn to that people who weep at his feet, confess their sins and knock at mercy's door and say in their heart effectually, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That poor people who have to cast their care. Jesus, my soul's compelled to flee when it's wrath and curse to thee. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Some of you can truly own before the Lord here today. His kindness hasn't departed. You've departed. We're wretched wanderers from the Lord, aren't we? Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. It springs to mind that hymn 133, which is above all others. There are verses not in our book, so I stick one or two verses in to the book. For though I feel they're sometimes suitable. And here's one in 133. Could we bear from one another what he daily bears from us? You think of our manners before the Lord. And if our friends, after we've done them so much kindness and shown so much benevolence, should treat us as we treat him who died for our sins, could we bear from one another what he daily bears from us? Yet this glorious friend and brother loves us, though we treat him thus. Though for good we render ill, he accounts us brethren still. You know, that's the holy brethren, isn't it? Love with an everlasting love. So you see, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In all nations and tribes, there are this people who the Lord separates. this people whom the Lord works mightily in. You see, as I quoted from Thessalonians just now, as the apostle gave thanks, for God had chosen the beginning unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, that definite, perfect work where truth is engraved in your heart, in your soul, and belief of the truth. Now the comfort springs forth from the belief of the truth. Well, he commissions by the Holy Ghost. There's a certain due and a certain anointing which the church recognises under a Holy Ghost anointed ministry. May hear many ministers perhaps say certain truths, they're general truths, they can be sweet truths. But you know, those ministers who get right into your soul, those ministers who indeed tell you the truth about yourself, and yet point out with a definite certainty the glories of him, the love of him, the faithfulness of him who fills his Father's throne, one who delights in mercy, whose precious blood cleanses from all sin to all these poor miserable comers, because the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it on one ground and one ground alone, the electing love of our most holy Father, and on the offering of his own well-beloved Son. Yes, his precious blood making full atonement, and the promises that spring forth from him, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's not a yea and a nay gospel, but all the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God, in spite of your misery, your ruin, your great wickedness, your utter helplessness. Oh, the devil roaring, your own unbelief, the fears you have, the fears in affliction, the fears in dying, the fears about your sinnership, oh, the fears of the majesty of God. Yet you see those that confess their sins and plead him and look unto him and believe in their heart he's the blessed one and press their case, they shall never be empty sent back. All the world, you see, to every creature, ah, my friend, and this is, of course, as the effectual door is open, the Lord opened to the apostle an effectual door. You know, my dear friends, the minister sometimes has to preach in season and out of season. Go home with his tail in his legs, feeling very downcast. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yet, my friends, yet they sow in hope. Well, now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Blessed gospel. You see, it's the report of him who is the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Blessed One. There's a Blessed One in heaven, you know, my friends. We fail, we sin. There's no room for the Pharisee here. In our morning readings, I'm reading Matthew, how the Lord spoke unto the Pharisees. Weren't you Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites? They knew nothing of the plague of their heart. They saw no beauty in Christ to desire him. But when the Lord works in your heart, my friend, you'll know the plague of your heart. He may use afflictions and troubles to sanctify. I know a godly man in Kent, how he came into providential trouble. And it was used by God for the beginning of a real work of grace in his heart. Before that, he'd been religious, but he came into trouble. Poor man's a sinner indeed, as this poor man before you is, and as we each are. The Lord sanctified trial. It's a mercy when our trials are sanctified that we come into not just the natural trouble and it makes us weep, but soul trouble. You then begin to hear a hand, a most solemn, awful, dreadful, yet you prove it to be through grace. Grace to you. Such a merciful, tender, gracious, loving hand. Ah, the hand of your God, the gospel. Well, I want to really come to that instruction, you see, and declaration. Instruction in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. If the Lord ever should anoint anyone in this congregation to go into all the world and preach the gospel, you'll have trouble. Have trouble in your soul. You'll find trouble in your flesh and in your circumstances. You'll often be brought to the end of everything. And one reason is that you may be a minister of the New Testament to other poor sinners in trouble. But the Lord knows all secrets. He does his own things in his own church. But you mark it if the Lord really, and my friend, you'll be searched at whether it sparks your own kindling. You really will. Oh, it's a solemn matter, you know. Oh, how unfit ambassadors for Christ are. Didn't the apostle say, and I know of course he held a different office to ministers today because he was an apostle, and we're only poor ministers today and weak pastors and teachers and so on. But as we read, he says, doesn't he, very solemnly to the Corinthian church as he wrote to them, if I can just find it. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. See, this ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. And he sets forth very plainly in that closing verse of chapter 5. Now then, we are, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. What a gospel, my friends. And what a privilege to be anointed and appointed to be an ambassador. To go to preach to every creature such a truth, whether men will hear or whether men will forbear. For it's made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That these sinners may be made the righteousness of God. That's the imputed righteousness to him that believeth. It was a righteousness ordained, foreknown, from all eternity, which God himself would work in the holy, spotless love and life and perfection of his beloved Son. And so God imputes that righteousness to him that believeth. I want to come to that part this evening, really, you see. I remember, you see, whether men will hear or whether men will forbear. And exercise concerning preaching. Remember one afternoon that word seemed very solemn, yet was direction to me. But when I speak with thee, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, he that heareth, let him hear. He that forbeareth, let him forbear, thou rebellious house. Speaking of the Jews, you see, my friends, we're rebellious by nature, but let him hear. Some will hear, some will forbear, some will mock, some will rise up in enmity, some will say, we'll hear thee again in this matter. They said to the Apostle Paul, and so, my friends, there are those that hear, they're giving a hearing ear and a heart to receive his word. Well, the Lord knows all things, but if indeed there's anyone here who has some solemn sense, and you'll be tried as a spark of your own kindling, you tremble to run with tidings which don't really bring the correct news, like, oh, I'm as the didn't he outrun, you see. And there were those two, you see, one running, one ran faster, but the one that ran faster and got to David first, he hadn't got the full tidings. Oh, there are many willing to run. But my dear friends, it's those who need, Lord, go before me. Lord, deliver me. Let it be thy hand. You want the fleece wet and the fleece dry. Ah, my friends, you see, the church needs full tidings, true tidings. I know it was solemn tidings to poor David, poor man. Godly king, beautiful type of Christ, he's been chastened, friends. Solemn tidings. Oh, is that man absent? Is my son Adam safe? No. And are you safe out of Christ? No. Ah, my friends, if you're a child of God, you'll have a great exercise with many cries out of your heart. Prepare me, gracious God. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me, as the psalmist prayed? Oh, Lord, show me thy salvation. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. I quote from Psalm 106, remember me, O Lord, with a favour thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Then he cries, Lord, help me in your providence. Many years ago in Haydock, staying at the home there, I was in deep waters and I did need the Lord to appear for me. But in trying to pray, it seemed to come to me something Mr. Frank Gosden had said many years before. I was only a lad when I heard it, but it stayed, you see. He was once in deep water, and all he could pray was, Lord, let it do me good, let it do me good. It seemed the instruction of my soul then, so many years later. Lord, let this trial do me good. In the end, I thought I had to pray this. Lord, do deliver me, but before thou art pleased to deliver me, bless me. Now, my next visit to Haydock, some months later, yes, still in the trial, but he blessed me, truly blessed me, when I was on the train going down from Wigan. You see, and it seemed so sacred. Oh, how they were to get a little glimpse of Christ who died for me. Well, we must leave it now, and we'll try and come to the more gospel part, experimental part this evening, the Lord helping us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Solemn issue, solemn matter. There's no halfway place, my friend. There's no neutrality with Almighty God. We're all under sin, sold under sin. No neutrality. We need Christ, for the promise spring forth from that great sacrifice. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Very solemn. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, bless that which has been true, and of the Holy Ghost. May something remain to be a help to thy needy people. So follow with thy blessing. Now be with us in interval, Lord, and may it please thee to gather us safely this night, and have mercy on us. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £610, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Woodhouse will preach on Friday evening, and there will be a collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society. You may have read the notice which says that the Trinitarian Bible Society is very short of funds. And I have found out that the shortfall at the moment is £400,000. God willing, Mr. Broom will preach next Lord's Day, and there will be a church meeting on Tuesday evening at 7:30. Let us close with hymn 413. Let Zion songs of triumph sing. Let gladness crown the day. Jehovah is her God and King. He hates to put away. Hymn 413.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen. Thank you.